Welcome to Outsource to Profits. I have Amir here who he's going to introduce himself quickly, but I'm going to tell a story about a big bet that we're making. Amir's way deeper in that bigger bet, but you might want to consider Latin America to scale your sales force. Now, with that, Amir, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name's Amir Ryder. I would define myself as a very energetic and driven RevOps leader who's just extremely passionate about all things RevOps, including agencies, lead gen agencies like yourself, right? Consultants, trainers, technologies, and of course, remote candidates. And, you know, I'm a big believer that Latin America is the new American dream. But that's a whole different conversation because I think this time I'll talk about Latin America and for business and profit. But I also think personally that it's an amazing place. I moved down to Medellin, Colombia.
I want to hear both. Yeah.
I moved down to Colombia 8 years ago. And I went back to South Beach during COVID for 2 years. And I was like, okay, great. Everything is 75% more expensive. And I'm going to go back to Colombia and enjoy my life there. And I'm here now and I'm happy. And hopefully can influence some other people to come here too.
Fantastic. So let me tell my story to tee up the situation and then the opportunity as Amir dives into it. A couple of years ago, so I've been obviously playing with this idea of offshoring, not only just in my head for my own companies, I've been doing it for about 5 years at that point, specifically Philippines, India, and Bangladesh. But then I started having sales kickoff events as COVID unwinded and I started going back to live events. Every time I was doing European engagements, I was enabling a team that ultimately I was flown a couple times into Cape Town, South Africa, and I was meeting a sales force in Cape Town. And so as I'd go to dinner with the chief revenue officer, I'd ask at dinner, I gotta ask, you know, I've met all these Europeans, you've got a team in APAC. Why this team down here in Cape Town, South Africa? And I said, well, here's kind of the history lesson. You've got the same time zone as Europe. You have a labor arbitrage that is 1/4 to 1/5 that of Europe because the Rand collapsed, their version of the dollar. But you have people that are university educated with almost British English accents. A lot of tech companies are there. Great education and enablement of a sales team. But the work-life balance, $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month is actually palatable in Cape Town. And I wrote a couple articles on it about a year ago. Well, long of the short is I started noticing this other trend. You know, we have a customer, I'll give you an example, whether it's, I was in Microsoft, I went down to Bogota, I was in San Jose, Costa Rica, and then I noticed Apollo is doing this. All these software companies either opened offices or growing their sales team in Colombia. So now this is where Amir's going to jump in.
I'm gonna tell a little bit. Close my door.
He's going to jump when he closes the door, but I'll finish the statement as he's doing it.
I live in a mountain.
So at 4 o'clock, the air goes, am I blind?
It just like blows the door open. And what's important as Amir, I want you to tell the story at flying the plane at 30,000 feet, the strategic opportunity. Think of why labor arbitrage in Colombia creates such a competitive advantage.
Why labor arbitrage has a lot to do with net profit and businesses for net profit. So that's not going to tell a story. That's just people need to focus on facts. Appreciate the story. I have been wanting to go to Cape Town for quite some time and I'm going to go. And I have in the past hired very talented writers for like $8, $10 an hour. And I think what people forget is that if you are in the UK and you earn $30 an hour, but your lunch costs $30 an hour, you're basically in the same position as someone making $8 an hour and their lunch is $7 an hour. In fact, that guy who makes $7 an hour probably saves 10%, right? So I think a lot of times people need to understand that there's two ways to put money in your bank. It is to make it and save it. They both have the net effect, right? If you make $1,000 or save $1,000, you're going to be a net $1,000. If you do both, you got $2,000, right? So I think the big thing is that it's not about, and when you say labor arbitrage, what I really think of is more currency arbitrage than anything, right? It's really more of the fact that when you take US dollar and you convert it at the rate of whatever the rate is in the place that you're at, right? Like in Colombia, The peso is 4,000 pesos for every $1, right? So by doing that conversion, you're then making your money into pesos. And when it's into pesos, it goes much lot further away because the average salary in Colombia for a Colombian in pesos is probably 1.8 to 2 million pesos, which is probably like 500 bucks a month, right? And that's and that makes sense because some apartments are 100 bucks a month. Like my health insurance in Miami or Blue Cross Blue Shield was 840 a month, and I'm a healthy 41-year-old. Here it's 140, right? So it's less a labor arbitrage and just a currency arbitrage. And it's one that I think companies can leverage to increase net profit because everybody wins. When you come to Colombia, let's say you know we have a marketplace where people hire remote candidates. The salary when a person makes call it $50,000 in Colombia, that will have the same buying power as $200,000 in Miami. You don't believe me? Come down, I'll show you. Like you'll know. I've literally had a Christmas party with 260 employees. I rented out the whole beer factory. We had food, we had parties and drinks. I charged my credit card, 3,000 bucks. If I do that in Miami, it's 30,000, right? So, and even the my office here, this is a 4,500 square foot penthouse, best part of town. I pay 4,000 a month. In Miami right now, if you want to touch a penthouse that's 4,500 square feet, your minimum is 20,000, you're going up to 70,000. So it gets actually increases in the luxuries. It starts to 5, 10X. So, you know, I think the big idea here is that if you look at America with all of the increasing costs, the inflation, the taxes, right? You know, you guys got to pay for the immigrants you're letting in somehow. You have a choice, and it's either you can increase the cost of your product and add to inflation, or you could lower your operation expense without lowering the quality that your customers would get. And if you have a Louis Vuitton store in, call it Miami, you need someone in the store in Miami because the store is physical. But in a world where we are remote and no one's coming to the office, then you might ask yourself, why would I want to hire someone in Miami where his cost of living is going to be 10x somebody in Colombia? Because guess what? There's lots of Colombians in America and they're making a lot of money too, right? Latin America is very close to American culture. Some would say that it's, you know, almost it's getting up there, right? So the big thing in Latin America is that while it's interesting because only about 1% of the population of 50 million people will speak English. And there's a whole other reason for that, which is political, and I don't necessarily understand it. But 1% of 50 million, man, I gotta do math real quickly, is what? What's 1% of 50 million? 500,000? Something like that?
500,000. Right.
So there's 500,000 people who speak amazing English, and that's in Colombia alone. And we are finding them and getting them out of call centers because for the last 30 years, they've been working in call centers and there's nothing wrong with call centers. But a call center is a company that's hired by a company to then hire people and manage people, right? So what we found with, especially with our marketplace, which operates like Uber, right? Or Airbnb or Upwork, is that by connecting a buyer in the States with a full-time independent contractor in Latin America, that company can pay them with a credit card, have no liability. The money converts from dollars to pesos. That person is making 50% more than they would in Colombia working for a Colombian company. The company lower their operational expense. The person is making more money than they have ever made before. And I like to call that a win-win situation. So I look at my journey in life and I'm ambitious. I'd love to build a billion-dollar company, right? And I'd love to build a billion-dollar company that actually helps people. And helps companies. So I find myself in a situation where I get a lot of pride knowing that where I hit my goal, I help 10,000 people get jobs where they can work remotely, have a family. Like I've been hiking here and people have stopped me and be like, Amir, you don't know me, but you got me a job. I'm making 4K a month now. I got my wife and kids. Like a lot of people say, and it's very rewarding for me. So I know that by helping 10,000 people get remote jobs. Now they can travel to Greece in the summer. They can go to the Philippines. They can see the world while working. And by helping companies increase their profit margin, we also win and create value. And a lot of times what people need to understand is that when you have a playbook for building your company, it's not this or that. In fact, I would argue that in order to retain the best talent in America, you probably need to pay them more. Well, where's that money going to come from? It might come from the capital money that you save from getting nearshore talent in Latin America for SDR roles, customer success, account executives, you know, some entry level jobs, right? Well, now you have it's like a baseball team, right? Like why is LeBron James paid $20 million and someone else paid $1 million, right? It's because they're different players and they build different value, right? So now a company, I think, can distribute its salary budget to go get the top LeBron James, pay them the $150,000, $200,000 you're probably going to need to keep them happy in the city, right? And then you could pay a Colombian $40,000, $50,000. That's like $200,000 for him. They're both living a good life, but now you've used your budget wisely, right? So, you know, I'm not here to tell anybody, because there are actually a lot of Americans that do get jobs in our marketplace. A lot of them just aren't living in Miami or New York. They're living in smaller towns where, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a month they're very happy with, right? So I was surprised to see tons of Americans on the marketplace. So it's not a anti-American thing. It's not a anti-US labor thing. It's more of a pro high quality of lifestyle for everybody involved and a pro profit, because I'm a firm believer that without profit, people can't innovate their products. And, you know, guess who gets rich off of high rent? The landowners, right? The rent owners, right? So, you know, you got a guy in San Francisco paying $4,500 for a studio. I don't know how that helps you, right? It helps the property owner, right? So that's kind of like my, and I think you think the same, right? Because obviously, you know, you have a team, you know, you have an agency and you have a team in the Philippines. You got people that you've been working with that are awesome, right? Like if they're in Toronto with you, they're earning the same as you because they have to. And in the Philippines, they're earning less, not because you're taking advantage of them, but that's because their cost of life is cheaper, right? It's a win-win for everybody.
And you and I have share something that we've always kind of talked about and share is what we're both selling is we're not selling people or time. What we're selling is a productivity tool. If you look at a sales organization, if you want to make your existing sellers, or if you do founder-led sales, if you want to become more productive and you want to do the $500 an hour value creation, you have to remove yourself of doing $5 an hour or $10 an hour tasks. And what took me a long time to understand as an entrepreneur is that I, as a sales professional, I'm constantly chasing the numerator. How do I go acquire more revenue, more revenue, more revenue? And I would spend wildly. My cost of customer acquisition would drive through the ceiling in a chase to get more leads and more sales. But I never understood, and it took me a long time to understand, that if I actually concentrated on the denominator, if I'm a 20% EBITDA business, for every dollar I save is $5 less of revenue I need to chase. When you start scaling that at hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars.
Did you hear that from Raj Jha, Exit Scout?
No, I wrote about this. I had a collision course with a financial meltdown. I was a multi-million dollar company. And I had this collision course. My mentor taught me this in 2018. And I started focusing on the denominator. And that was how I got into offshoring with our team in Bangladesh. But long of the short is, this is not the productivity tool. The talent is on par or even greater than the talent onshore, because they're not jaded to work on the business and not in it. They're not jaded to work on tactical tasks, projects, and initiatives when they dream, you know, in North America.
Yeah, no, I like that you're going there. You're going there, and I'll go there with you. It's an entitled workforce. They're not even happy. They're pissed off at you.
Yeah, they won't do the strategic stuff, but you've got to do the basic tactile stuff to get things done. So pull on that thread, as we only have a few minutes.
I would add to, like, you pay someone $85,000 in America, they're broke, unhappy, and hate you. And this concept that, like, people are going to retire with you is a joke. If you look at the stats, they are – everyone's job humping. I've seen executives, literally CMOs, last 7 months. So it's like, Okay. I have, just FYI, anyone listening, the legacy business of CloudTask is similar to Jamie's, right? Where it was a service company. I have a company that is still working with us. They're a publicly traded expense management software. They have 15 people. They've been there for 5 years. So you know how many times people I've heard say, I don't outsource and I don't work here because I hire internal people because I want to train them up. I laugh because they're all gone in a year. And nobody wants, everyone's afraid to look at the data. It's looking at their face because if they accept the data, then they accept that they're wrong. And the egos are so high that they can't accept they're wrong. 5 years, still working there, been there for a long time, right? And if you look at the average LTV of a VP sales, it's like 1.18 months, not even that. SDR is 8 months.
It's actually, it's 16 to 17
months. Yeah, so like, it's like if this, then that, right? If I hire internally in the States because I get loyalty for 10 years, then I do that. But if you don't and you keep doing that, then you are just fucking up. Excuse my language. You know what I mean? You're like trying to like, you're trying to like defend people that don't like you.
Well, I call it financial optionality in the sense that as the founder, there are five different ways you deploy capital and you are you are literally working with an arm tied behind your back because you are not creating the EBITDA necessary to redeploy that capital in a way that grows your business in the most efficient way. A business is a living organism. And if it could talk, it would say, help me build the most efficient way possible. Yet our legacy biases and confirmation biases will tell us, well, I did this for years. I have to have somebody in Toronto, Canada, sitting beside me all day long.
Do you know who's not saying that? The billion-dollar companies. That's the most messed up part. You go to LinkedIn, search remote jobs, search Columbia. You're going to see Google, Amazon, HubSpot, Salesforce. They're all hiring. Their net profits are $1.9 billion. Yours is $200K. They're like, hey, we want to make more than $1.9 billion. We want to make $2.5 billion. We're going to hire in Latin America. You're like, I hire in America, and you're making $200K. So, like, just look with your eyes because it's not even a secret anymore. The most profitable companies in the world are HubSpot has an office in Bogota, right? Like they're not even hiding it. It's public. They're literally in your face hiring all across the world. They're reporting their financials. They're netting billions and you're struggling with your interest rates, but you still want to hire people that will quit on you, leave you in a second. And like I said before, they leave you and quit on you in a second because you can't pay them more than the market because you're using all your budget. So I'll repeat back.
Yeah.
By doing the mixed workforce, you can get the LeBron James. You can pay him more because now you save 50K here and you can pay him 40K more. Well, you save 10K. He's not going to quit or look for a better job. But if he's at 85 to 150K and he's the best, he's going to go. I worked at NetSuite. I made $180,000. I didn't do anything. I worked like 2 days a week. I got fired. I sold $600,000 worth in 2 days a week. I was third place. Yeah. I got fired. Guess who called me the next day? Oracle with a $300,000 job.
Oh my God. You're like, I'll take that.
What's the punishment? You get really good. You're going to go work with a huge company, get some stock options and work 2 days a week. So small businesses, I think, can benefit the most from working with agencies like yourself.
The target market that we're focused in on, micro SMB, SMB, lower mid market. Offshoring, as to your point, has been around since I was born. Airlines, banks, all financial institutions, they've all been doing this for years. But the average SMB has been, legacy bias said, oh, I need you tied to my hip in my office. And that is just no more needed.
The best people won't take jobs to come in the office. They're not going to communicate. The top G is going to be like, oh, yeah, let me get in the car and drive for an hour and a half in the city, park, and then come to your office. It's the opposite. If you don't do remote, you ain't going to get the top talent. It's flip-flopped. I was working remotely in South Beach for that company called NetSuite when I worked 2 days a week, proudly. And, you know, like...
Were you the guy doing push-ups on the beach? Yeah. Like,
I was like the muscle so guy? I was the guy who owned a supply company who was delivering toilet paper in a minivan at 5 a.m, then doing push-ups on the beach. And I would literally hit on girls in my minivan. I had an M3, a brand new M3, but I found it more entertaining to use the minivan to see if I had the skills. But I was a character for sure in South Beach. It was fun. I had a good time there. I'm not going to lie to you.
This is fantastic. Well, you know, I'm going to have you on as a guest again. We'll just pull on more threads. In our, this podcast, we like to just pull on one single thread, but let's come back to a future podcast. For the audience, please like, subscribe, share this with your fellow founders and CEOs, chief revenue officers, chief marketing officers. Amir, as we sign off, how can people get a hold of you? And what's kind of your elevator pitch of why they'd want to come talk to CloudTech?
Appreciate that. I'm really easy to find with Amir Writer on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. I use it all with my name, public. And then, you know, we help hiring managers, revenue hiring managers make informed decisions through our marketplace so that they don't have buyer's remorse, so that they don't hire a lead gen company and say it failed, or they don't hire a remote candidate that didn't work. So, you know, we're... Jamie Shanks and his agency is listed in our marketplace. You could find them listed. So
let's be transparent and candid. I have an offshore team for sales and marketing support in Bangladesh, but my front end, I'm building account executives and account managers where?
And I appreciate that. You know, you asked me, right? And I said, hey, interview some people. And the cool part is with the marketplace, you can step in the marketplace, interview things, hire what you want, or just get information, right? So that's the whole point. It's like, you know, we don't force people to hire who they find, but I appreciate you for giving us a look at the marketplace. I hope the talent works out great. Give me the critical feedback. But yeah, you guys can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, any of that stuff at Amir Writer or cloudtest.com. And Jamie, I hope to help future buyers find you, because that's my job. Or marketplace. It's information. And you're one of the guys that I know runs a top agency, and we look forward to continuing to communicate with you guys and pulling out those case studies from you and those nuggets so that the right person finds you. That's what my job is.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the
show. Likewise, man. Take care.